irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. It is a new week, Monday, June 5th. Thank you for joining us yet once again. Lately, I've been opening the show with a lot of stumbling. I don't know what the hell's going on, but I need to work on that a little bit. It's just that I have too many things in my head all going at the same time, and it's like, what do you say first? Tori is not in today. She's off today, but I'm joined by a special guest who's here for the second time, Janice Rouse. Welcome to the show, Janice.
Thank you.
Yes.
And I will be Tori today.
You'll be Tori today.
I'm sitting in your seat, Tori. I'm sorry.
You're sitting in her seat, so you might as well. But I told you, you are still a guest and we'll treat you with respect.
Thank you.
And
I appreciate that.
So you were here, what, a couple months ago, 3 months ago, maybe?
Yes. It was right before the R&P concert launch at the Hudson Theaters. So that would have been in April.
Okay.
Yeah,
and what was that launch about? Tell us.
The R&B concerts.
A lot of people may not remember.
Right.
I don't remember shit.
You so,
yeah. You see, that's how I keep a good radio show going.
Thanks.
Keep it fresh.
Well, the R&B concerts are a live show. My background is Broadway and opera, and I wanted to do something. It actually started off as just a coffee house kind of concert that I did with a friend, and then I made a show out of it, and we started launching it at the Hudson Theater backstage, putting on with live music. I bring in guest actors, trying to bring in some additional singers, and just building a show once a month.
So, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And the Hudson's here in LA?
It's in Hollywood, yeah.
Oh,
Hudson
really?
Backstage on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you put on the show,
mm-hmm.
and so that was back. Now, is it still going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
we took a break for June because of the premiere of the pilot that I wrote. But we'll pick it back up in July. So
that's
our next
good.
One's July 8th.
And do you
teaser.
Star in it?
Oh,
do
teaser.
Do you star in it too?
Yes.
So you do you do a lot of things, you
yeah.
know. People can follow us by going to aboutjeness.com. That's
mm-hmm.
Janice's website. It's spelled J-E-N-N-E-S-S.
Yes.
And, you got so many things here. You got film, live concerts, stage, you're a mm-hmm. model, you're a writer, a lot of things.
Yeah.
So we'll delve into some of these things. I mean, you're obviously very marketable, which is very important in today's world.
Yeah.
You know, have you built a brand around your name?
Kind of. It's Rising Monarch. That just kind of started last summer. I started my career years and years ago, but it was really more doing the networking, building, studying, working behind the scenes, backstage, learning a lot about the industry and meeting a lot of people in the industry, both in New York, LA, Texas, and just getting a real good idea of what the industry is.
Yeah.
But last year, I kind of plateaued and started thinking about it. I'm more than an actress. I'm more than a singer. What could I do? And I noticed something about LA. It's a lot of hurry up and wait. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I'm a Texas
wait
girl.
Hurry
do
up
what
and
you
wait.
Say you're going to do.
Yeah. It's hurry up and wait on tables. That's
yeah.
what it is.
And
go on.
I just decided that in order to get anything done, you kind of have to do it yourself.
Right.
And so I went back to Texas. I founded Rising Monarch.
Is that where you're originally from, Texas?
Texas originally,
yeah. Where in Texas?
West Texas, Midland and Odessa area. It's real flat, Permian Basin,
okay.
but great, great
so
people.
So that's an area where nobody knows.
Well, our claim to fame, is George Bush. And great family, though. Great, great family environment. They're great people.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Real close with a lot of people out there. They are my family.
Nice.
And
is it hot and dry out there?
Absolutely.
Is that part of Texas?
Yes. It's
okay.
Our trees come up to your waist. That's what a tree is. When I left and I went to, I actually lived in Nashville for a few months. I saw trees for the first time in my life. That's what a tree is.
Whoa.
It's supposed to reach to the sky. So,
yeah.
Yes.
So
no,
how did
very
your family
dry.
End up there that you...
Oh, that was World War II.
Really?
My grandfather, Robert Rouse, Papa Rouse, he's originally from Illinois, one of those I states. He's okay. a Yankee. Iowa, Illinois. I think it's Illinois, but I could be so wrong about that. But he was stationed in Texas, and he met a Texas farm girl, Elta, mom, and ended up marrying her. And after the war, she wanted to stay in Texas because she's a Texas girl. So they ended up staying in Texas.
I see. Okay. Well, that makes sense, you know, because somehow, I don't know if somebody would choose that place to live unless they were stationed or they were just born there. Yeah. You know?
I don't know much about the Midland history. I know it was the Midway. It was the stopping point between Dallas and El Paso, and they discovered oil there. So here I say, I don't know anything about the history, and I know some of the history. But it is kind of that midway point. It's a really unique area. It's like a big town, little town at the same time. Because they've got big city things there.
Like in the movies kind
of thing. But it's still kind of got that small town feel where everybody knows everybody, sort of.
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, I mean, did you feel it was confining or too small for you after a while?
No.
So why did you get out of there?
I always knew I was meant for big things. I always knew I was meant for world travel and international work. I didn't know how that would manifest. I had a gift for acting and singing. I had a real gift for singing. I was scared to death of it. I hated singing in front of people.
Really? But you loved singing by yourself?
No.
No?
No, so, I had a gift, and I'm a weird person.
How can you be a good singer if you don't like singing?
Growing up, when I was going to different summer camps and things, all the girls wanted me to sing for them, and it started to become a competition. Uh-huh. I hate competition. I don't like to compete. I like to be friends with everybody. Just be peaceful. And when everyone started to try to, let's just beat Jeunesse, that's when I really withdrew.
Wow.
And I started to criticize my voice, and that's where the stage fright came from.
Wow.
So my voice coach, I mentioned him in the last radio show, but David Corman, he saw that I had a gift, and he also saw I had a lot of stage fright, and he was really instrumental in pulling me out of that place.
Wow, so, very cool. Mm-hmm. So it's always cool to meet somebody who can sort of like help you see things from a different perspective, huh?
Yeah. Well, and he's traveled the world. He's sung with everybody. He knows everybody in the opera industry, and he also knows who has stage fright and who doesn't.
Yeah, right.
And so he saw something, and he pulled it out.
What style of singing did you get into?
It was opera originally.
Wow. And what age were you interested in opera? That's very fascinating.
Well, it started with that voice lesson, that first voice lesson I had. I didn't even know I could sing opera. Let's see. I was 24?
Oh, so
23?
It was later
on. Yeah, it was later on. Yeah.
Wow, very cool. So you just opened your mouth and you decided opera is going to come out?
No, a friend of mine heard me humming along to the Hallelujah chorus. We were listening to Christmas music. And she was a music major, and she said, Jeunesse, you have a golden throat. And she actually scheduled that voice lesson for me. And I was not pursuing it at all. I wasn't going to pursue
now,
it
now
at
I'm
all.
Fascinated to hear. Now, on your website, do you have a clip of music or anything we can hear?
Yeah.
Or on YouTube? No, you don't want it. Okay.
Yeah, I do.
We don't have to. But this is very fascinating to me because you're very good at it. Mm-hmm. You do it, but yet you don't really promote it.
Well, it's like I'm more about promoting a team. I don't like to pitch myself, but if I'm part of a project that I believe in, if I'm part of a group that, like the Beck on Call, it's the team. I'm all about pitching, and I can be the face of the team. I was a captain of volleyball, basketball, all the teams. I can be the face of the team,
right?
But I don't like to pitch myself.
Right. So you're the leader, you're a natural leader in teams and groups and stuff, but standing on your own on the stage is pretty frightening to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's common to a
lot of people. I think that's why many people get into bands also, because they feel, I need a group of people
around me.
But there's nothing wrong with that because, all the most successful people tell you, you can't do it yourself.
Exactly.
You know, you got to have other people. It's hard to delegate. It's hard to manage. And not want to do it all yourself, mm-hmm. but you can't. And a good example is a production like that you do, you know, and things like that.
Yeah.
You can't do a one person thing. It doesn't work.
No. I mean, well, some people try, but you need people to run sound. You need people to be stage managers. You need people to.
Even in front of the camera, you know, what do you do? Like a one person show, you know?
Yeah, you still need a DP. You still need the stage manager. You still need the PAs to run back and forth. Yeah, you need everybody.
Right. So that was the singing part, and the acting part, how did that come about?
I always liked acting.
Yeah?
I had some stage background growing up, and then when I was a senior in high school, I somehow got cast in the new fall musical. But when I stepped out on the stage, something lit up inside of me. Like, this is what I was supposed to do. I love becoming a different character because then it's not me. Yay, I'm somebody else.
See how funny people are different. Like, for me, I could only act as myself. Yeah. I can be somebody
Well, true acting is when you can step out and be yourself. You know, it's.
But you got to be somebody else.
You put on a different. I mean, George Clooney, Julia Roberts, they are themselves. Every single show that they do, they're being themselves, but they're very natural,
right?
And that's why it makes them a great actor. There are very few true blue character actors out there, and those are true actors because they morph into somebody else.
Yeah.
But most stars that you see today, they're stepping out on the stage and they're just themselves because
very interesting.
They themselves, each individual person has their own uniqueness and charisma that they don't want you to come in as somebody else. They want you to come in as you.
Right.
Because you are the best character you can possibly be.
Wow.
But I liked it when I could put a different name on it. So I had a mask.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I'm Becca, but it's actually Jeanette. She's Becca.
I know. I often thought, you know, what would I do if I acted? You know, I mean, And I thought, I could convince people with the way I get angry. I mean, you know, that like totally does not look like acting. It's a real thing, you know. But
he's reaching into his soul.
But think about it. You know, in acting, if you really want to see acting, you have to see somebody get mad or something, you know. I mean, being nice is not a lot of acting, you know.
Oh, I could disagree with you on that one.
Okay, niceness I don't know shit about acting.
No, if you think about it in everyday life, niceness is the biggest mask that people put on. It's the differences between being nice and being kind.
Right.
Kind is sincere. Nice is mean and hateful with a smile.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can tell when someone's being insincere and they're smiling at you. It's like, I really hate you when they have this smile on their face. That's L.A. to a T. But then you have someone who's kind, who is smiling, and they really do genuinely care.
Right.
So,
okay, I'll buy that.
Life lesson from Nessie.
So what happened was, so you got into theater and everything, mm-hmm. and then you decided what, to move out and move to New York?
Moved to New York. Originally, it was to pursue opera, and that lasted about a week.
Really?
Which it wasn't because I couldn't sing it. All the voice coaches and agents that I sang for, they all said, you have the voice for it, but your languages need a little work.
Ah.
My Italian was pretty good.
Yeah.
My French was atrocious.
Really?
And it was, I mean, I was raised in West Texas. You got this accent, and then you're trying to put out them French ooh sounds, and it sounds terrible.
Whoa.
So they highly recommend, especially with being a lyric mezzo, that I move to Europe, because that's where most lyric mezzo roles are cast. Most of the operas in the United States are all the dramatic Wagner, big Vivaldi, big sounds, and I have a real pretty sound, but it's real light, and that's more Mozart and some Rossini, the Italian composers, and most European opera houses do that. But I had just moved to New York City.
Right.
And they were saying, okay, move to Europe, take some languages, and get into an opera house out there, or start auditioning for Broadway. And I went, I'm going for Broadway. I can't afford to move again.
Yeah, that's not moving there.
So that's when I started the whole Broadway auditioning. And I got really far as the workshops and agents and things like that. But right around the time that I started auditioning for the Broadway stage, a commercial opened up. And then that was when the film world started opening up. So I really started, you go where the doors open.
That's true, right?
Know? And that was the first thing that opened. So I started following those doors, and then those doors led to LA.
Ah, very cool. And how long have you been here now?
two and a half years.
Oh, okay.
I was gone for about 6 months last year because I was filming the pilot Back on Call. So,
oh, okay.
And now I'm back.
Cool. So you came here and what, you decided that, okay, first of all, I'll check out L.A., see what's going on, and then you quickly realized?
Yeah, for the first two, I mean, I've been here 2.5 years, but I took a 6 month sabbatical in Texas for the filming. But for the first, you know, year and a half, I was kind of networking, going to acting studios, working in a production studio, getting a feel for LA. It's completely different than New York.
Right.
So I had to get a feel for the industry. I was meeting a lot of people, and I ended up writing some at the production studio, and I needed something for my demo reel, so I wrote a scene about Becca, and that scene ended up generating some attention for the writing and the acting and the story. And I got a startup fund, just a small fund, see what you can do with this. Can you make a web series out of it? Can you make something from it? And instead of making a mediocre web series, I decided to make a solid pitch that was about 2 minutes long with multiple actors, multiple characters, do high quality editing, color correcting, all of that, and then present what a series would be. And then I spent the next 6 months or so networking, pitching this concept of Back on Call to different networks, different production studios. Got a lot of amazing feedback. This is a really good idea. This is a really great story. And I had a draft of what the pilot would look like. It wasn't top notch, but it was the quality was there. The story was there. I just needed someone else to come alongside and help me promote it, pitch it, rewrite it. I knew it could all be done if I got somebody on board.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's just part of LA. There are people who are interested, but they had other projects. And here I was waiting for this one. And I finally got to that point of, well, I'm just going to go do it myself.
But you're obviously, you've been a go-getter from the beginning. Yes. You've done a lot of footwork yourself.
Yeah.
And you got yourself the agents and the managers and all that stuff. No?
Not yet. No, I mean, I had agents and managers in New York.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
But not out here.
No, not here.
Yeah.
Okay, so here you came, and this is when you realized I got to do it myself.
Yeah.
Very cool. You see, so... So you don't kid yourself, you know, and that's what I'm saying. Some people come here and they're like, nah, you know, they
want to be famous right now.
Right. And it's going to fall into their lap, and it doesn't happen that way. I mean, even if you work hard, you may never get the big part.
Right. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
The New York actor is the true actor. They don't go to New York to go be famous and have a luxurious life, because New York is hard. Mm. It's you go there because you love the craft. And what was very fascinating to me was when I was a New York transplant, and all the casting directors, the agents, they said, "You're from New York. Oh, we're going to have a real actor." Because a lot of people who come straight to LA, they think, well, I'll just go out there, someone will spot me, and then I'm going to be famous. Whereas a New York actor comes here because they're pursuing their craft. They're pursuing a different side of the industry because they love the industry. They love acting. They love the music. They love the craft.
Right.
And there was a story about... Pavarotti, how he was the most famous opera tenor that ever lived, but he would have been happy singing in a small country bar, singing to his heart's content, because he loved the craft.
Wow.
And those are the ones that actually end up being successful, because they're not doing it for fame.
That's true,
a nice side.
Right.
But they're doing it because they love doing it.
Right. So. Yeah, people want to be famous for the sake of being famous, like a Kim Kardashian or something, you know? And what's your accomplishment? Okay, so you'll make money. You can see that fame is not all it's cracked up to be anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't get to live a normal life.
No.
And you don't know who your real friends are, if they're with you because of who you are or what you are. Right. And it's before you really wish to be famous, think about everything. And also remember you become famous.
Well, know who
famous.
You are and know what you're doing. I mean, that should not be your goal. That should never be your goal. Your goal is, yes, successful. Absolutely. And to enjoy what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with being successful. But why are you being successful? It's because you're doing what you love to do.
Exactly.
And you're really good at it.
Yeah. And if a lot of people like it, you become famous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what is amazing to me, and I keep saying this, is how people with some really mediocre, questionable stuff on Facebook Live or whatever, get like 10 million hits, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know,
they don't
we
last
work
very
so
long,
hard.
Though.
We work so hard.
Well, everybody's looking for that 15 minutes of fame. That's the phenomenon of reality television.
Right.
That started happening when reality TV started coming on board. Everybody's becoming the reality star.
Right.
But to me, the true stars are the ones that are either the world leaders or the ones who have that solid foundation that they have been doing this, hitting the ground running, and they keep recreating their craft.
Right.
And they're doing because they love their craft. And that goes for sports. That goes for, I mean, you look at someone like a Troy Aikman, who was an incredible football player, incredible quarterback. Now he's reinvented himself as a sportscaster.
Oh, really?
And, oh, yeah, he's on Fox Sports.
Yeah.
And he's one of the co-hosts for all of the NFL Fox 24 sports games. And he's reinvented himself. A lot of Michael Jordan, the best basketball player that ever lived, reinvented himself. He created his own team and started playing with them. They weren't very good, but he didn't care because he just he actually made
it's
them good when
creation.
He took the court.
Yeah.
But and then he had his own Air Jordans and things like they reinvent themselves.
Yeah.
And it's but they're not relying on their past fame. It's not that 15-minute wonder of someone who, oh, I got a million views on my video, and then there's nothing there.
Right, right.
And everyone is looking for that sincere, genuine, real thing. And that's what everybody's hoping they find, and they finally find it, and then that becomes the huge phenomenon, the huge star.
Yeah, that's true, but then you have to work really hard, you know? And the thing is, what pisses me off is these guys, like this guy walking around as a Southern mama. He was here on the show, right? He just like does video, and he just gets into character, and he starts talking like a Southern woman.
Oh, that's
and that's
funny.
It. 9 million, 10 million views. I'm like, are you shitting me?
Yeah.
I mean, what are these people doing?
Yeah.
How many times can you see this, and how many times can you like get into it?
Yeah. Well, it's the way but our industry works.
And it also depends on who those 10 million
are. Well,
what would
be really neat for him is if he can ride that wave and then reinvent himself.
Right, right.
And not just rely on the 9 million hits. I would be thrilled if he could take that success and create something from
it. Yeah, yeah.
That would be the making of a true star.
Right.
That's
and make money too, you know? I mean, whatever. With that kind of traffic, he can make a lot of money.
Absolutely.
On the internet, you know? Wow. I don't know how people do this, man, but sometimes it just goes viral, you know? And you don't know why. Nobody can plan it, you know? Some people do plan it, but it usually doesn't work.
Right.
When you plan it, you know?
Right.
Because you don't know what elements, what ingredients you need there for the perfect storm for this to happen, you know? So cool. So Becca on call. By the way, for those of you joining us, Tori's not in today, but I am joined by Janice Rouse.
Hi.
And she's from Texas way, and then New York, and now here. And she's doing a lot of great stuff. So now we're going to talk about your latest project, and that's Becca on Call, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that and what's going on there, what we can expect, and, you know, what's...
Yeah.
Well, let me be a little more specific, okay? Tell us, first of all, what the show is about.
The show's about an aspiring writer. She wants to be a famous novelist, but she's running into the money bind. She can't get her manuscript sold or picked up by an editor or publisher. And so she goes to her dad for a little help. And dad says, yes, absolutely, I will help you if you come work for me. And so she ends up as a nurse assistant for her day job. And it's a classic life tale. It's a comedy.
Uh-huh.
But it's a classic life tale. We all have our dream jobs. And we oftentimes end up working a quote-unquote day job to try to make ends meet in order to launch our dream job. And oftentimes those day jobs end up becoming more time-consuming than we would like.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
And each character in the clinic has their own dream jobs. She meets a variety of hilarious different nurses who have their dream jobs that they want, but they all winded up at this clinic working as a RN or an LPN or later pharmaceutical rep. And doctor or things like that. And it's just, that's the premise of the whole series, is everybody has their dream job and they can't make it happen because they have to make money first. And it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek laughing at reality, you know, for people who are trying to go after their dreams and end up, they need to support their dreams somehow.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Now, and do you have many story ideas for many episodes already?
Yes. Yeah, I've have several episodes have been written. Several additional story arcs are in draft form. I don't want to go too deep into it because if a network wants to pick it up, I would much rather work with them and show them where the story needs to go, allow them to actually write the dialogue.
That's
or
true.
Help them write the dialogue.
So now you're going big time. You want to go with TV, you don't want to go web.
Well, Netflix, Amazon would be fine as well, because that's becoming the new television. Everybody's doing the binge watching.
Right. But you don't want the YouTube thing. You want the real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. You see, you dream big. Mm-hmm. And
go big or go home.
Yeah. And you're creating your reality. And that's the important thing, you know. With this radio station, I pretty much created a job for myself, you know. So I think that's, if you want to compare it, that's how it is. You created your own situation where you can shine, where you can love what you do, and
what's interesting is
something.
that story's kind of in the recent film La La Land, where both the protagonist encouraged the female protagonist to write her own show, and she could be the star of her own show, and that's when she ended up launching her career from doing that. Because she had gone around auditioning and then she couldn't land a job. Then she created her own job and that launched her into her next stage of her career. And I just thought that was interesting. That came out this past December, and that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm like, well, I'm just going to go out there and do it myself. I'm going to make my own Broadway show. I'm going to make my own television series.
And then there you go. You know, I mean, why not? So let me ask you this. So you have to start with a group of people, a team of people. Mm-hmm. By the way, the show is called Becca on Call.
Yeah.
How did you get... Well, I guess that makes sense, right? She's a nurse or a nurse.
Her name's Becca, and she's at the beck and call of all the nurses, and she's on call because nurses are on call.
On call
so it's kind of that
time.
Whole play on words.
Very cool. When did the idea come about for you?
It originally from my demo reel. I was working at that production studio. I was helping other people create their demo reels. My boss and I were writing our own material, playing around. And then I wanted to write a scene for my demo reel and just kind of get an idea of production. So I wrote that scene about Becca and Miles. And those end up being two of the leads in the pilot. But the writing, the acting, the concept got attention. And then after I was given a startup fund, with that startup fund, I could either make a mediocre web series of 2-minute, 3-minute webisodes, or I could make a solid television pilot.
Right, You keep saying I was given. What do you mean? I mean, it's not a small thing.
A friend gave a small fund. I don't want to go into details.
You really don't.
But
have to.
it was a small fund. Just said, what can you do with this?
Wow.
And they believed in
me. So they believed in you.
Yes, they believed.
There
in
you
me
go. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Like, how does it just appear? You know.
Yeah.
But that's cool. So, you see, that's the thing, man. If you make yourself known and you show people how good you are, they're going to believe in you and invest in you. How cool is that?
Well, it's interesting. I was part of Joseph Perlman's acting studio, and one of the things that he would say is you can either pitch yourself or create your own work. And what I ended up doing was I started creating my work, and then I started pitching myself by creating my own work and pitching the work. And so I'm kind of doing it all. And that's really how you get started in this career, is you start pitching either a project that you're in or yourself or a work that you're a part of. Right. And that's what I'm kind of am doing.
Well, you're doing what it takes, you know. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I'm eager to see this now because, you know, this
comes out.
Well,
you need to come out on
mind.
Friday.
Friday. Where do we need to come out to?
It's the Chinese Theaters on Hollywood Boulevard. It's going to be at 4 p.m. on Friday, June 9th. It's during the Dance with Films Film Festival, their 20th annual.
Okay.
And they have a block for TV pilots that they selected to screen. and we're the first on the block, which is great. We're leading it out. So come and see us.
So Dances with Films. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So is this what, like an annual thing that they do?
Yes, this is their 20th. Annual. And they started growing. They really are about promoting independent filmmakers, people who are go-getters in the industry, who may not have established that name talent, so to speak, but they are the next name talents. They are the up-and-comers. They really try to spot those who are going to make it. And when they selected Becca on Call, that was really encouraging for me because that's my first film project and it's doing really well. And I'm like, oh,
how
wow,
cool is that?
I have a gift for production. Hooray.
There you go. So now how long is the, so we're going to get to see the pilot if we go there?
Yes.
Okay. And how long is the pilot?
It's 22 minutes.
22 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's perfect for like network TV and stuff like that, right?
With commercial breaks, even though you don't have a commercial break in the screening.
When you screen.
But yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, this is going to give you a lot of credibility, exposure, things like that. So you're involved in the marketing and distribution, I would imagine, too, right?
Yeah.
So from the festival or this thing that they have, where does it go from there for you?
If a network wants to buy it, I would enter into some kind of deliberations about how I would sell it.
I see. And mm-hmm. these people usually go to those festivals and stuff to find things.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
So that's how you get the exposure.
Yeah. So there are two ways that it could go. Either I could sell it to a network and hands off, make money off of it. I would prefer to be involved in the project as much as possible, whether I'm still the lead, Becca, and with all of my, that would be ideal, would be that all of our characters stay. I also understand the reality of the business that they're going to want to switch up the cast and things. So I would want to be involved with it as much as possible.
Yeah, you want it. It's your baby, you know?
And just, but it gives an opportunity, especially if I'm still in the business side of it, I can have a little leeway on where the story goes, where the characters go, bringing in the actors that I want to bring in.
Right.
And things like that. So we'll see.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing it because I like, so this is like a sitcom, right? I mean, this is, it's a comedy, it's half an hour.
Yeah, it's single cam, but it could easily be made into a sitcom, which is the multicam.
Right.
But right now it's single cam comedy. So it's kind of after the Scrubs genre. It's kind of a cross between Scrubs and Ally McBeal. But with my twist. So you've got an imaginative, quirky lead protagonist who, she's a writer, so she sees through her very imaginative world where someone will say something and then that kind of sparks this imaginary scene in her mind, which is very Ally McBeal-esque. But then it's also very much like Scrubs where you have your nurses all trying to get through the day in a medical environment, and you have all of those laughable medical scenarios. So it's a simple concept, but it's one that works.
Yeah.
And so far, the people that have seen it, they love it. They want to see more. It's got all the pieces for being a very successful series. It's just about either getting the exposure, getting the funding where I take it and run with it, because I could certainly take it and run with it, or selling it to a network.
You put your life into it. Mm-hmm. I can see that, you know. And excuse me, I always promote focusing on what you do, you know. Don't try to do a million things.
Yeah.
Focus on one thing and do it very well.
Do it well.
You know. So now, if people don't, they're not in LA, they don't get to see it there, where can people see it?
That is to be determined.
Okay,
because we had to wait for Dances with Film. Some of these festivals, they want to be the world premiere.
Right, that's what I figured. Yes. Yeah, they don't want other people to see it before they get a chance at it.
Right,
yeah.
But how people can follow the updates and progression on where it goes, or if they want to see it, they can go to the Facebook page at Becca on Call TV, and it has all of our cast vignettes. Those are the behind the scenes videos that I had all of our cast introduce themselves and say a fun fact about who they are, what character they played. They can get all the behind the scenes footage, the different products that we promoted in the show. I partnered with a couple of Noonday Accessories, and then a Fort Davis Pecan Nut Company and had their products in the show and incorporated in the show. Mm-hmm. So people can go on the Facebook page and see all of the different pieces of the show, even if they can't actually watch the show yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, but that's cool. Everybody wants to see behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah,
stuff,
absolutely.
You know? And so, you know, I mean, but I tell you, Janice, my question is, how did you learn to do all this yourself?
I figured it out as I went.
As you went.
Fake it till you make it.
Right.
I am the ultimate actress. no. Well, I'm a sponge for information, and I see it once and I learn it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That was in New York. I learned the industry out there pretty well, and just working behind the scenes, working as an extra, working as a smaller role in different series and on some of the major dramatic series that were popular at the time, and then coming out here, networking with the acting studios, getting a feel for the industry by meeting with industry professionals who are out there doing it,
right?
And just getting a feel for it, and then working in a production studio and a research as well.
Yeah, right.
I learned by research, reading, listening to interviews, and then when I go out there, everyone just assumes that I know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'll figure it out. Yeah. So some of it's improv. But then what's also kind of interesting is even if I have no idea what I'm doing, it's almost like I do. Because when I step into it, I may not know what I'm doing at first. But the more I talk and the more I'm listening, my ideas that are coming to the head are actually the things that would work.
Yeah.
And so it's just,
look, I mean,
going with the flow.
Yeah, exactly.
And
you know,
it out.
I mean, that's it. I mean, you're going with the flow. You mm-hmm. know, you're flowing with what you're getting, with what you have, and you work with mm-hmm. what you have.
Yeah.
And you make it happen. You know, and that's what I'm saying. You know, in today's world, and we had some experts on building wealth and stuff on the other day, but you can't just rely on a paycheck. You gotta do something. No. Else. You yeah. got to do something on the side.
Well, life is more than a paycheck. That's what my dad always says.
Exactly. You know, and so, if you want to grow and even if money is important to you, you got to do more than just
right.
going to work, being the nurse,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yeah.
doing all this. So
yeah.
so you address all that, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
The show is Becca on Call. World premiere is June 9th, right?
Yes.
And that's a Friday at 4 p.m. Let me think. Where am I on Friday at 4 p.m.? I could definitely come. Wow,
yay!
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, well,
and you guys are the first ones, so I don't have to say.
Yes, we're the first one on the block. So you can get your tickets. You can either get them through Beck on Call TV on the Facebook page, Beck on Call TV, or danceswithfilms.com, the Beck on Call page at danceswithfilms.com. They have their own individual page for our pilot. And
yes, you'll see it.
Link.
Right mm-hmm. on the left is a link. You're the second from the top, or at
yep.
least on the page I'm on.
Yeah.
And wow, it looks fascinating to me. And I tell you why. Because now that we know you a little bit,
yeah.
to see you act in this. And
yeah.
Now, should we give some credit to the people that are working with you on this? I see there's another co-director.
Yes, Matt Draper was my co-director. He was actually my boss at Speed Reels. That was the production company that I worked at, and he was the one that filmed the original scene.
Oh.
And when I launched Rising Monarch and I started acting as executive producer, I asked him if he would be the director, and he flew out to I flew all of my actors out to Texas. I ended up filming it in Texas.
Why is that?
The locations were free.
Really?
I could save some money that way. I got a medical clinic. I got craft services from mom and dad. You've got to be smart. You know, when you're given a certain budget, and I ended up saving that. I don't know very many producers who can end up saving some money on their budget and use for things they didn't even plan for.
Wow.
So, but I flew all of my actors. I flew Matt out to Texas to film it, and he was our director on set. And then I, unfortunately, since I stayed in Texas, I kind of acted as director in the editing room. Picking the takes and working with my editor, Felipe Lenz, who is an incredible editor. And we worked and kind of long distance, and then I flew back and we worked in studio every day to get the pilot where it was. And then my colorist team, Cody Cuellar. I'm not sure how I say your last name. I'm sorry, I so butchered it, Cody. and then, of course, Pulsar Visual were my tech crew out there and in Texas. And so I had a great team.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. The show again is Beckon Call, and we're hoping to see it on distribution channels like. And you know what I was thinking, because not every show that gets picked up is a great show.
Right.
You know, I went on some shows that I know somebody who made the shows and all this, and I'm going on one of those Netflix Amazon things, and I'm watching the show, and I'm going, you know what? I don't like this. It's not very funny.
It's amazing what's on today.
So, yeah. So, I think good quality stuff is definitely, there's always room for it, you know. And people will get to see. You know, once you see the pilot, you might say, hey,
well,
I want more of this.
Everybody that has ever seen it, they're waiting for they thought there would be more. And that's really
that's
compliment
a good thing
to have when they're like, where's the next episode? I want to see more. That's a really good compliment. Yeah. So, but it's a concept that works. It's worked in the past. That's what you do. When you're creating a new show, you use a formula that worked in the past.
Right.
And then you completely reinvent it with that formula.
Oh.
And like Scrubs worked. Ally McBeal worked. Those are two very successful shows. And then I add my own twist.
I see.
And I have a more of a Pollyanna optimistic view of the world. So my humor is a little quirky. But it's a good family show. But at the same time, it really speaks to everybody because it's about the dream job scenario.
Yeah.
So, and then it just kind of makes laughable quirky scenarios out of life.
Yeah.
And real hats off to my actors, because I wrote each of the characters, I wrote it according to who they are, an extension of who they are. And it's, they took
of who the actors are,
who the actors are. They took it, and it's an accentuation of themselves.
Right.
I'm quirky, so I really heightened the quirkiness factor. The Bob Globerman, who plays my dad in the pilot, he calls himself the King of the Dorks, and he heightened his King of the Dorkiness in this. Matt Bodie plays the cool Dr. Miles. He accentuated his coolness factor, and Jim and Bryce and Danny and Cody, they all accentuated that side of them. And it really all, how I fashioned the dialogue was how they spoke. So, and then I said, when I was on the set, read it word for word, you know, memorize your lines word for word, but play with it.
Yeah.
So if you get stuck, go back straight to the script. But if you kind of want to mess with it, say it how you would say it. If this isn't exactly how you'd say it, what would you say? And then they would come up with something amazing.
Yeah.
So that's how the magic of filmmaking works.
So, you see, you made your own fortune, your own, because you're making decisions that actually work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Very cool. Well, if you guys want inspiration, you got to check out more of Janice. You can go to her website, aboutjanice.com, and you'll have the spelling on the website and...
Two E's, two N's, two S's, and one J.
There you go.
It's not hard. It's two of every letter with a J in the front.
Okay.
Sound it out. Hooked on phonics working for me.
Yeah, and one E, two E's.
Two E's, it's two of everything.
But not in the same order, right?
Well, Janet. J-E-N-N-E-S-S.
I know, I'm giving you a hard time. It's an awesome name, and you know, obviously not many people are named that.
No.
Do you know how your parents came up with it?
Yeah.
Well, of course you do. Tell us.
My mother's sorority sister, Janice Gillis, she kind of adopted my mom in college at Texas Tech. And when my mom knew she was pregnant with a girl, she asked if she could name me after her.
And so, do you like the name?
Yes.
It's awesome, right?
It's Big Janice and Little Janice, and we both live in Midland, West Texas. So, yeah.
Isn't it funny how many families have big and little?
Yeah, the big junior and senior.
I know.
Yeah.
We had like a big Sam. I was a small Sam, the little Sam, and all that. But no, just because I was like a year younger, you know?
Yeah, junior.
That's funny, I know. So, this is cool. Now... So we can go and actually see some of the behind the scenes stuff that
yes,
that we can see now. Is there any? I mean, is there a way like so people can support this so you'll have better chances?
The more people that like the page, follow me on YouTube, the more exposure that Back on Call gets, the more likely that a network will start paying attention.
That's true, right?
Yeah, and I just launched the Facebook page. I was waiting for our world premiere to be announced before I actually published the Facebook page. So I literally just published it. And now that I'm starting to promote it, trying to get the word out, the more people that watch the trailer, want to see more, the more people that start paying attention to where's Back on Call, going on IMDb, going on YouTube, because I did post a playlist of the Back on Call trailer and all the behind the scenes cast videos. It's all there. All the pieces are there.
Wow.
It's just about getting the exposure for it.
So. Where do you have time? Do you have any leisure time at all? Or is that part of your leisure as
well? Well, I work during leisure as well. So I don't sit still very long.
And I'm like that too. I'm like on the weekend. Yeah. Come on, let's get going. Come back to Monday again, you know?
I'm always doing something. I'm always creating something, producing something, because I'm a motivational speaker, and of course I'm working on these R&P concerts, and that's where I'm doing a little speaking in that. I'm a writer, and I've got a book that I published, and so I'm always working on something. I'm not just twiddling.
Well, you're gonna leave a mark, you know. So. I mean, behind you, and that's the important thing. Also, is to know that you leave a sort of legacy. You know, when people talk about you, they'll say, you know, well, she did this. She did a million things.
But it's
know?
Not so much about doing a bunch of things. It's more about being a blessing to other people. How are you impacting other people? How are you affecting their lives? Are you making their lives better? And that's my mission is to make somebody else's life a better world.
Yeah.
And if they can use my life as inspiration, as my overcoming story as inspiration, then that is enough.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
There you go. Another life lesson by Nessie.
follow
sorry,
the story,
that came out of
you
nowhere.
Know? No, that means that's cool, you know.
So.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to this. So tell us again, when is the screening?
Screening for Back on Call is this Friday, June 9th at 4 p.m. It's going to be at the Chinese Theaters on 6801 Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, you don't have in L.A., you don't have to tell anybody where the Chinese is. I mean, that is the theater
well,
to be
some
in,
people
Janice.
Are flying in.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow, how cool is that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the place to be, Janice. I mean, you don't get a better place.
No, it's. I was really excited.
Blessed you are, but they had, I mean, was there anything you did to, I mean, obviously submitted and everything, but did they just pick it based on the fact that it was good, right?
I guess so.
I mean, I'm sure they see so many of them.
Yeah, they do. They had a lot of submissions this year, over 2,000, and to be selected was an incredible privilege and honor for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of that validation factor of I kind of do know what I'm doing. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better world premiere.
Yeah, very cool. So I imagine everybody's going to be there, the actors, the cast.
Yes, as many of the cast that can,
That'll be cool. Are you guys going to give a presentation or something? Do they give you any time to do that?
They have a carpet walk for us. I don't know if we will have time. So I have to figure that out because I'm acting as the filmmaker as well. So I have to figure out all the ins and outs. But, I mean, we'll have our sign up and there is an opportunity for us to walk the carpet before we go in. It depends on the time because we are the beginning slot and it is only a 22-minute viewing. So it's not like going into a full feature where you have time to do your carpet walk. So we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't gotten that far.
Yeah, who cares? Just get pictures. Just,
I mean, we had our opening ceremony last Thursday where I spoke to some news outlets and there was a carpet walk for all the different filmmakers who are being screened. So we did do that. My cast was there and then we had some photos taken there.
Yeah.
And then right prior to your screening, you also have your individual carpet walk. So, I'm assuming that's going to be at like 3:30 and then we walk in and then at 4 is our screening. So.
Wow, cool. Mm-hmm. There you go. I mean, just tell your boss I'm leaving early today.
Yeah,
I got to see Becca on call. It's a Friday, man. Let me go early.
Yeah.
And but I'm going to do my best to be there, Janice, because now you got me all fascinated and everything. And I really want to check out all the work that you put in, because it is inspiring. And now I understand why you're also a speaker and everything. And I think you have a lot to say, a lot to teach people, you know, and that's awesome. So you can see that even if you're from a small town in Texas, you can still make it big. And
fake it till you make it.
Exactly. You know, whatever it takes.
Figure it out as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it takes that kind of a dedication to really learn as you go, you know.
Well, but you have to understand where you're going. I mean, you don't have to have the specifics, but have a goal.
Right.
And if you have a goal of where you want to go and you're flexible with how you get there, you'll get there.
Yeah.
Just as long as you keep moving toward that goal, however that looks.
Yeah. So. That's very cool. All right. Well, Janice Rouse, everybody check her out, aboutjanice.com. And I guess there's all kinds of stuff on your website, which is amazing. I see also my pictures on there. I like that.
I like that. I'm on LA Talk Radio today.
Listen in. So thank you so much for joining me.
You're
definitely very inspiring, a lot of fun. And we hope to have you back here.
Yeah.
Telling us about all the different episodes you've got and everything like that. So it's amazing. Everybody, put in your support. Go to the Facebook page. All you have to do is click on the friggin' like button, for crying out loud. It doesn't take a lot of effort, you know? It seems like it gets so hard to get people to click that like.
Well, I get a lot of views.
Yeah,
I've gotten a lot of views, but not a lot of likes. So
I know, because people don't care about the likes.
They forget about that part. But if you like it, though, you actually see more that's on the page.
Right.
I'm not sure what that like button's for.
It gives you updates.
It gives you updates. Okay, well, then you can follow it with all the updates that it gives.
And some pages will actually let you post on them if you like.
Yes.
Them.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. You know more about that stuff than me.
I guess I do.
I'm figuring out social media. Make it till you make it. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
You're too busy working.
You're
too busy working on TV series.
Like it so you can follow the notifications.
All right, folks. We're totally out of time. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.